Let us pray. Lord God, may the scripture which was read in the video we watched and the message I will speak cause us to thirst like never before for the living water. Amen. The first week of Advent, we tried to answer the question, what child is this, through the eyes of the shepherds. And then last week, we tried to answer the question of what child is this through the eyes of the wise men, the Magi. Today, we look at Mary. What child is this? That's the question. In our scripture this morning, it said that this babe that was to be born to Mary would be named Jesus. So what child is this? Jesus. For when he was born, he was truly named Jesus. We also know that even before I knew anything about DNA or any of that stuff that I still don't understand, that you are the product of your parents. It didn't take long for me to understand that, because from that high up, and even today, people say, you look just like your dad. Wish my dad was a lot more handsome. But I am my father's son. And many of you are your father's sons or your mother's sons or your mother. You're all that. Sometimes, and in my case, they used to say, well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We've heard those things, right? And then the cause that this week, as I've been thinking about this, the question becomes, well, what kind of tree am I and what kind of fruit do I produce? Because there are things other than your looks that we pass on to our children. What are the fruit that we pass on? Kind of an interesting question. It caused me to think of this story. It has nothing to do with it, but I think it's a good story and I needed a good joke. No. Not really. This supposedly happened in Augusta, and I'm going to change the name to protect the guilty. But there is a man named John Smith who had a son named John Smith. So John Smith Sr. had a son and named him John Smith Jr. And John Smith Jr. had a son and named him John Smith III. Right? The senior had to move in with his son, Junior, because they were doing work on his house, and he had to move in for about a month. So we had three Johns, well, more than three Johns in the house, but we had at least three Johns in the house. That was funny in itself. One day, the phone rings, and there was a housekeeper there, and John Jr. said, would you answer the phone? And the lady answered the phone and said, Smith residence, to whom would you like to speak? And the person on the phone said, I'd like to speak to John. And she said, which John? Father, son, or Holy Terror? So it made me think, maybe the apple did not fall too far from John Jr. or from John Sr. You never know. But we sometimes look like our parents, and we have both of our parents within us. When I went to seminary in the first, I guess the New Testament class where I actually took a gospel, our New Testament professor said, if you want to know what God looks like, what God acts like, and what God thinks, you need to look no further than the four gospels and read the life of Jesus. Because Jesus is the most perfect picture of God you will ever hear, read, or see. In Hebrews 1:3, we read these words about Jesus. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is fully God, and he brings the attributes, the DNA of God, into his being. But he is also the son of Mary. It's an interesting thing when you begin thinking and reading about systematic theology. And one of the things we talk about in systematic theology, which is kind of makes you kind of, we always think about Jesus being the Son of God, but Mary is the mother of God, if Jesus is fully God. And so the attributes of Mary are also present in Jesus. And we read about that in Philippians 2, where Paul writes that though Jesus was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. And so Mary's life is a way of understanding what child is this. Many of those attributes of Jesus must be seen in the life of Mary. It makes you wonder why the angel would say, "O favored one." Maybe the reason she was favored is because of the attributes that she had. Jesus, one who was filled with compassion, one who loved children, suffer the little children unto me and hinder them not. Bring the children, there's compassion and there's love and there's kindness in the life of Jesus. And then we see in his ministry where he is about serving the least of these, the last of these, and the lost. We see him having meals with sinners, talking with the lady caught in adultery, the woman at the well, the woman who washed his feet with her tears, people who are the poor, who never knew what it was to walk, and he made them walk, or the blind man, those that the society threw to the side, Jesus reached out in compassion for them. Attributes of Mary. Jesus and Mary had a thing in common, that they both had a mission. And the angel of the Lord came to her and told her she was a favored one, that she had a mission, and she accepted that mission readily, humbly, and she did it. Jesus also had a mission to come and to serve, to save the least, save and search for the lost. And just as Mary struggled, Jesus struggled. On the night in which he was betrayed, the night that he was denied, the time when all was going south for him and his ministry, he goes, crosses the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, and there he carries Peter, James, and John deeper into the garden, and then he goes about a stone's throw from them. He asks them to pray for him as he goes away, and he goes and his prayer is, "Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." A mission. And angels helped him. They both had a mission. They truly did. It's interesting when we start thinking about Mary and we think about the early days of Jesus' birth, that on that eighth day we read that Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, and while they are on their way, they see Simeon, a prophet. It pretty much foretells to Mary that her son is going to be pierced with a spear. When we read those words about, "And Mary pondered these things in her heart," it puts new meaning to her life and what she passes on to Jesus in his formative years. This past summer when we were in Rome, we went to the Vatican, of course, and we went to St. Peter's Basilica, and there they have that sculpture of Mary Holding the Body of Jesus by Michelangelo. It is a marvelous masterpiece. It truly is. One of the things that our tour guide talked about was the face of Mary is of a young Mary, a Mary who would have had Jesus. But in her arms is a 30-plus-year-old Jesus who is dead. But when you look at the sculpture, you see the face of Mary not looking at Jesus' face, but her eyes are where the baby Jesus would be laying. She's looking down. It makes you wonder, could she see that? Could she understand that when she looked at baby Jesus? I wonder if she could. What did she know? What did she thirst? What do we thirst? You see, that's the interesting part of that video for me, is that Mary says, when I understood what was going to happen, I thirsted. When I saw Jesus at the temple, I thirsted. I thirsted. And she knows where the living water comes from. And she believes. The question for us this day, do we thirst? Do we believe enough about Jesus to thirst for what he gives and can give to not only us, but to a thirsty world? A world that needs to know what it's like to taste living water. Jesus said, I am the living water. The beauty is we've tasted it. Many of us have tasted it. The question for us is, have we shared the living water with anyone else who thirsts also? What child is this? He is the living water. And all who thirst need to taste and see. Are we willing to share the living water? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we have had the opportunity to taste the living water. Thank you for this child. Fully man and fully God, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. May all who are thirsty be able to drink. Amen.